Thank you so much for joining us for today's online worship experience. We're so glad that you're with us today. Take a moment and share this content on your social media, and I want to encourage you to stay connected with us at 3trees.com and all of our social media pages. As always, I want to remind you, you are in the right place at the right time.
Today, I get to continue our series. Last week, we launched a series entitled God With Us. And today I'm going to take you back to that anchor text that we used last week. It's in Matthew chapter number 1. It's just two verses. Verse number 21 says this, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins." Verse 23, "And behold, the virgin shall be with child, and she shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." Notice, you shall call him Jesus because he saves you from your sins. They shall recognize he is Emmanuel, God with us. I think that perhaps what's being said there is that as you decide to make Jesus your Savior, it sets you up for the moments in your life where that others, bystanders, onlookers, the world, have to acknowledge, surely God is with you in your life. That all starts by accepting and acknowledging Jesus as Savior and Lord. I want to give you another passage of text. This will be the foundation for today's message. It's Matthew chapter 11. And what Matthew chapter 11 does is it picks up the storyline of a man by the name of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist has been put in prison. And when he's put in prison, he asks two of his disciples, staff members, messengers, to go over and see Jesus and to ask Jesus some questions. And as Jesus replies to answer their questions and send them back to John, one of the things he says in the answer is Matthew chapter 11, verse number 6, "And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. I'd like to share a message with you this morning in the vein of, that doesn't fix my problem. That doesn't fix my problem. Father, help me. Help me to preach. Help me to teach. God, use this moment. God, provoke someone forward in their walk with you, their relationship with you. Let the anointing of the Holy Spirit be made manifest even through the preaching of the gospel, that yokes will be destroyed. Let it be done, Father, in Jesus' name. And this church said, amen. You know, I have found that it is really easy to testify God is with us when everything's going right. Like when you're having some of those really good seasons in life, it is not hard to tell anyone and everyone, God is with me. There's an interesting character in Scripture. In fact, he may be one of the most unique characters in the entire Bible. In order for you to understand a little bit more about him, maybe we need to say this first. The Bible says that when you're studying Scripture, that you are to rightly divide the Word of God. Now, most people believe that that means you divide it at the Old Testament and the New Testament. And there's nothing wrong with that. But maybe a better understanding would be that to rightly divide the Word of God, you divide it at the cross. And what you'll discover is that everything before the cross is pointing to it, and everything after the cross is pointing back to it. And so when John the Baptist comes on the scene, he is the first prophetic voice that we begin to recognize in the New Testament, yet he is before the cross. He's before even the arrival of Jesus' ministry. And when John starts preaching, there has been a prophetic silence in the earth for over 450 years. There has been no one in the earth declaring the oracles of God for over 400 years when John the Baptist shows up. And when he shows up, he is not your average preacher. Scripture tells us that he was dressed in camel's hair. We get the impression that he's somewhat disheveled. He's rugged looking. He's probably got a big beard. And We know that his diet was locust and wild honey. He hung out in a wilderness environment, and when he started preaching, he didn't go into the urban areas. He didn't go into the town square. Instead, he went right there to the edge of the wilderness. He got in the middle of the Jordan River, and from the shores, and sometimes from even within the river, evidently, he would preach. And he really had one message that was central to his ministry. It was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And what would happen? People would respond to his messages and they would get baptized. Now, in the day of John the Baptist, before the cross, baptism meant something different than what it means now after the cross. When we as Christians get baptized, what we're saying is we're symbolically telling the world we're going public with our faith. We're letting everybody know an old version of us has died and a new version has been resurrected through the grace of Jesus. But that baptism doesn't do anything inside of us. It's just a public testimony of what's happened. But in the days of John the Baptist and the Jews, they were supposed to use baptism for repentance. And it was their way of going, and they would get into water, and they would baptize themselves to say, hey, I am unclean. I've done things that God is not pleased with. There's sin in my life. I want to be cleansed, and I want this sin to be removed from me. I don't want to be disconnected from God. John starts showing up, and he starts preaching. You guys have neglected this baptism. You have neglected to repent. You guys are at a place where sin doesn't bother you anymore. And you need to get right with God because his kingdom is right here with us. It's made manifest, and we all need to get ready to experience it fully. And people responded to his message. He must have been an incredible communicator, an amazing orator. And he's preaching. And people are coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. They are coming from every direction. Hundreds, if not thousands of people are in his ministry, receiving from him. He is getting results. Now, those are fun times, aren't they? When you're getting results. I know I can say this, when you're not getting results, there's hardly anything that's more discouraging. That's the reason most diets don't work. You don't get the results as quick as you'd like to have them. That's the reason most exercise plans don't work. You don't get the results as quickly as you would like to have. That's the reason that most businesses don't make it past the startup period because people don't get the results as quick as they want them. But man, when you're getting the results, you feel 10 foot tall and bulletproof. John the Baptist is in a season in his ministry where he is getting results. People are responding. He's got an increasing following. I mean, every time he goes on Facebook, he's got more friends. Every time he goes on Twitter, he's got more followers. If he puts something on Instagram, the likes just explode. John is being celebrated. And it's not that he didn't have critics. But what we're led to understand is that the applause was so loud that it drowned out the critics. Woo! Man, can't nobody preach like John. You want to experience God? Get over there to John's church. You want to really experience a move of the Lord? You need to go over there and hang out with John and his folk. Woo! You know what happens? One day, this huge crowd is present. John's preaching, and Jesus shows up. And when Jesus shows up, John stops everything. And he announces to everybody, "Behold, the Lamb of God is with us." He's right here. You need to recognize it. You need to celebrate it. You need to be aware of it. God is with us. You ever had that moment? That river revival moment? Like, I know God is with me. I know God is with our family right now. I know that God is with our church right now. I know that God is with our business right now. I just know, celebrate it. God is with us. But then you fast forward in John's ministry, and somebody with influence turned on him. It went all the way to the king's throne. And they decide that they're going to arrest John the Baptist. They send soldiers. They apprehend John. They take him into a prison. In that day, prisons were horrific places, especially if the king puts you in prison. Nothing was sanitized. There was no modern-day plumbing. The stench of sewage would have filled the atmosphere. On top of that, it was known to be a haven for disease. It was a place where infection would break out in people's body, sometimes with open sores. Those open sores would drain, and the smell filled every room and every corridor. It's dark. It's a literal dungeon. And here sits John in darkness, in prison. And word spreads that he's probably going to be executed. And now he is contemplating, will I live or will I die? And while he is in prison, Jesus doesn't even come see him. Jesus, so far as we know, does not even send a message to him to check on him to make sure he's okay. John is rotting away, trying to keep the rats from eating his toes off at night while he's asleep. And he feels really, really alone. And something starts turning over on the inside of him. Like he starts having some kind of a struggle that evidently he's never wrestled with before. Like there's some kind of a challenge that's happening on the inside of him that when two of his former staff members come to see him, he looks at them. He says, I need you to do something for me. What is it, John? I need you to go find Jesus, and I need you to ask him something for me. Well, what is it, John? Matthew chapter 11, verse 3. John said, I need you to ask Jesus, are you the Messiah we have been expecting, or should we look for someone else? Wait a second. Over here in the river, Jesus is God with us. There's no doubt about it. Everybody needs to recognize it. Nobody can overlook it. Jesus is the one. God is with us. But in the prison, in the darkness, there's a question evolving. Is God really with me? Or am I looking in the wrong place? Am I looking at the wrong thing? Like what am I missing? Because this situation is getting worse instead of better. Have you ever went from the river to the prison spiritually? Have you ever went from the moment where you were getting results and everything was going your way and you just knew it, man, God is with me, to the moment where it seems like absolutely nothing is going right and everything that comes out of the king's office is making the situation worse for you? Are you kind of like, what is going on, man? Like I gave my whole life, when everything was going right, Jesus, I gave you the glory. I let them know like you're God with us. And now stuff is going wrong and it just seems like. You know, one of the issues, John chapter 1 verse 29, when he's over there in the river, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There's a key phrase there. John saw Jesus coming toward him. Boy, it ain't hard to celebrate it when you can see it, is it? It ain't hard to tell anybody when you can see it. I can see. He's coming to it. But now I'm over in the prison, and hey, Jesus, I don't see anything. So, like, if you're coming, I'm going to need you to open my eyes. John has sent a question to Jesus. Are you the one? Are you really with me? Are you really God with me? The question arrives at Jesus. It's two messengers. It's recorded. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 11. Jesus, John's got a question. Is God really with him? I'm sorry. It's actually verse number 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, I want you to go and tell John the things which you hear and you see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached. All right? The messengers look around. Everything Jesus says is true. Blind eyes are being opened. Deaf ears are being unstopped. Dead people raised back to life. Poor people have the gospel preached to them. They take it back. Back to the dark dungeon. Back to the stench of sewage. Back to the place where the rats live. Hey, John. Man. Blind eyes opened. Deaf ears unstopped. Dead people raised back to life. Poor people have the gospel preached to them. But put yourself in John's shoes. Well, that's great. But that doesn't fix my problem. You ever been there? It's not that you're selfish. It's not that you're not excited about what other people are experiencing. But it doesn't fix your problem. Well, that's great. That's great that their marriage got fixed, but that doesn't fix my problem. Like, that's great that God rescued their kid from addiction, but that doesn't fix my problem. Like, that's great that they got their financial breakthrough, but that doesn't fix my problem. Like, that's great God moved, prevented something bad from happening, but that doesn't fix my problem. Have you ever sat in that dark closet? You ever felt the enemy messing with you, jingling those kind of chains behind you? You ever had the moment where that you're in church and you want to worship and you want to glorify God and you want to give him everything you got, but they got their healing and they got their breakthrough and man, the Lord prevented that thing, but does it fix my problem? I'm still on the executioner schedule list. It doesn't fix my problem. Have you ever been there? I believe that Jesus anticipates that kind of a response from us. He knows we are human. He knows we are flesh. He knows we struggle from the inside out. And so when Jesus provided an answer to be sent to John the Baptist, he didn't leave it there. He added something to it. He didn't say, just tell John the Baptist, blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, dead people raised to life, lame walk, poor have the God. He added something to it. Verse number 6, Matthew chapter 11, he said, and you tell John, blessed are those who are not offended because of me. He's saying, John the Baptist, when you hear this, you're going to have two choices. To be blessed or to be offended. John the Baptist, you are going to have to wrestle with the reality of a conditional response. Will you choose to not be offended so that you can be blessed? Isn't it amazing how the enemy uses offense in our life? Here comes Beulah. Look at you cross-eyed funny. And now you're offended. Freddie said something to your kids. And now you're offended. Somebody took your parking place. And now you're offended. Somebody got the promotion instead of you. And now you're offended. Do you know why the enemy tries to keep you offended? Because the Bible tells us that if you have unforgiveness in your heart, according to Jesus, then when you pray, your prayers can't be answered. So the enemy tries to get you offended so that he can hedge you off from the potency of your prayer life. And it's one thing to be offended with others. But have you ever been offended at God? Maybe not all of us, but I'll bet you in a crowd this size, somebody watching on a podcast, listening on a radio broadcast, you know what it is to wrestle with offense towards God. And it's not because you wanted to. It's because the enemy kept pointing out to you, he healed that blind eye, but it didn't fix my problem. He unstopped that deaf ear, but it didn't fix my problem. He made that lame man walk, but it didn't fix my problem. Like he resolved that situation, but it didn't fix my problem. And I think that Jesus would say the same thing to you that he would say to John the Baptist. There is a blessing that awaits you if you will choose to not be offended by what you don't understand. Maybe that's one of the reasons that God teaches us, do not lean to your own understanding, but trust in the Lord in all your ways. Maybe that's why Scripture teaches us that the ways of God are mysterious. Maybe that's why God teaches us that the weapons of your warfare are not carnal through man's hands, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Maybe that's why God teaches us that if God is for us, it really doesn't matter who or what is against us. Maybe that's why God teaches us that he has the ability to determine the end from the very beginning. Maybe that's why God teaches us that he will be the author and the finisher of our faith. As long as God still got pen in hand, he is not finished writing your story. And you got to understand, it may not look like what he did for that family, and it may not look like what he did for that business, and it may not look like what he did for that person or that follower of Jesus, but if you will choose to believe that he is the same God in the river. I'm trying to help somebody this morning. He is the same God in the river that he is in the prison. If he can just find somebody who will believe that there is a blessing that is headed your way, it may not come wrapped like you thought it would wrap. It might not come unpackaged the way you thought it would come unpackaged. In fact, it may not even look like he's headed your way at all. But John, God's saying things about you that he ain't saying to you. Jesus sent an answer to John. He said, you tell him all that stuff and you tell him, don't you get offended, John. And there's a blessing heading your way. Those messengers walk off. Jesus turns around, looks at the remaining crowd, and he says this, assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater ever than John the Baptist. For all the prophets and the law prophesied up until John could get here. And if you are willing to believe it, he is the spirit of Elijah made flesh for such a time as this. He didn't say it to him, but he said it about him. Watch it happen over and over again in Scripture. Go look at Job for a minute and see what God's saying about you when he ain't talking to you. If you choose to not get offended by the ways of God, if you choose to not lean to your own understanding when the process of time with God's hand on it is unfolding in your life, there are things that He is setting up for you that will not just be for this lifetime, but will be for an eternity. Because even when they laid John the Baptist's head down on a cold executioner's block and the sword was lifted above his neckline, he may not have understood it, but there were 10,000 upon 10,000 angels that were coming his way and about to grab him and take his soul to a heaven that would be his for all of eternity. And when he walked into heaven, the pearly gates were going to swing open, and according to Hebrews chapter 11, he would get a blessing unlike few other people who have ever lived throughout the entirety of the human timeline. You may not understand what God is up to, because it's not all about time. We are driven by the eternity that is in our hearts, and God is setting us up. I just feel a little bit like preaching this morning, because I just... I've stood in the river. Oh, I've had that moment. I've watched a church not grow for 7 years and then take off and grow by more in 6 months than it used to grow in 6 years. I've watched God make dreams and visions come to pass that you've held since childhood. And I've been able to celebrate, my Lord, He's God with us. But I've also known some dark days I didn't ask for, nor did I want. You don't ask for 5 surgeries in 2.5 years. You don't ask to get stabbed in the back and people you love betray you. You don't ask for pain and challenges and dungeons. I'm looking out at the Klontz family right now. Who ever heard of one family having to wrestle a brain surgery? There sits a husband and wife. Brain surgery. Did y'all ask for that? Was it wanted? I look around this room. I don't even know where my Aunt Treva's at. The prayingest human being I've ever met. What my mom and daddy didn't teach me about prayer, she taught me. She taught me the principle of when you build a house, you put a room in it that belongs to nobody but God. Coming out minding her own business. Nearly be crippled and paralyzed. Go through years of agony and challenges. She didn't ask for that. Think about your life. Think about your situation, your challenges. There are some things you didn't ask for. There are some things you didn't expect. There are some things you didn't anticipate. But does anybody, when you're in the moment that the enemy's trying to convince you that the dungeon is going to get the best of you, that you can still believe that He is the God that was in the river? He is the God who's been there all along, and I may not understand it, but if I go or I stay, I am a winner either way. It's a great storm, maybe a little bit of faith, but on the other side, it'll be a great calm. He's brought me too far to give up on God now. He is the God who blesses in spite of everything the enemy tries to show you, everything the enemy tries to tell you, everything the enemy tries to point out to you. He is still God, and He can be God all by Himself. I need somebody just give Him praise one more time and let me catch my breath. Just look at somebody and tell them, I will not be offended. Refuse to allow the enemy to take offense and hedge you off from your blessing. Because if the blessing doesn't show up in a lifetime, it'll show up in an eternity. It's the promise of God over your life. keep the faith. Hold on tight.
Once again, thank you for choosing to worship online with us today. We would love to connect with you even further. Visit 3trees.com to see multiple ways on how you can take your next steps. Most importantly, we would love to celebrate your decision to follow Christ or hear about any of your prayer requests. I want to encourage you to share this content and today's message on your social media so your friends and family can be blessed by the powerful message too. I'll make you this promise. If you go with God, He will go with you. Greater things are yet to come.